So glad you could join us. Hey, just a quick show of hands. People staying afterwards for helping with VBS setup. Can you just put a hand up? Maybe if your wife and you are staying, put two up there. I'm getting a count for pizza right now, so that's what I'm looking for, okay? Okay, more hands just went up. Okay, there. Okay. All right. Whatever you want, whatever kind. 20 people, four or five larges, you think that should do it. Yeah, we've got some things to do afterwards. We're going to set up some shades in the backyard. So when the kids are doing crafts back there, they'll have a little respite from the heat. Over by the little ball field over here, we'll have another shade there. We're going to clean some godly graffiti off the wall in the back there. Hate to even call it graffiti, but the first one that went up said, "I love this church." Well, how am I going to get upset with that? That's great. Love that. Then the next one said, like, "This is my stuff. Don't touch it." And then I thought, wait, it was like a community kid wall. They started getting upset. So any of you who would like to help us take a little scrub pad and some soap, and we'll clean the wall, and then they'll fill it again maybe with something else godly, like "I love this church," "I love Jesus," all those things. That's great. So things to do afterwards. We want to feed you for your work, so please stick around, and we'll do that. We're looking forward to a tremendous week, of course, inviting kids from the community to come out to hear the gospel in a fresh way as we go through the wilderness with Jessica and Misty and Sydney and all the other helpers, Sally and Tara, everybody. It's going to be great to have so many kids here traveling through the wilderness, heading towards the promised land of Jesus, of course. So that's going to be good stuff. Thank you so much in advance for those of you who already did so much work getting up to this point. I mean, we've already put in dozens of hours getting here, and it will certainly take a lot to get through it and then to help us, I don't want to say tear down, but to put things away gently, right? That's what we'll do, all the hard work. So there you go. Well, today's sermon is called A New and Living Way, and we're going to see that we, as new covenant believers in Jesus, approach God in a whole different way than those that lived during the Old Testament, Old Covenant time. The way back then was approaching God through an animal sacrifice offered by the priest in the tabernacle, and then, of course, endeavoring to keep the law of Moses, but failing miserably for 1,500 years over and over again. But now, with the new covenant, we approach God through the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He took the blood upon himself. He entered the Holy of Holies. And not only was he the high priest, but he was also the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So we're going to be looking at that today. We have a superior way of approaching God. And it's all there in Hebrews chapter 10. So without further ado, let's go to Hebrews 10. We're going to be reading through the first 25 verses. I'll save 26 through 29 or through 39 for next week. But today, it's full of very good news. So I hope you enjoy this time. It's very hopeful for us. It ought to increase our faith. It ought to spur us on to love and good works. So with that, Hebrews chapter 10, again, written to those Jewish Christians who have left the practices of the old covenant and have embraced the new covenant, but yet are being drawn back to the old covenant practices, maybe tempted, maybe pressured by their family members, for they have left a long, long tradition, again, of sacrifices and the priesthood and the Mosaic law to embrace the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So here we go. Hebrews 10, verse 1. "For the law," Mosaic law, "having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be purified or offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder," again, not a remission or forgiveness, but a reminder of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. They just swept it under the carpet. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And again, that's a messianic psalm. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, speaks of the coming of the Messiah, that in his body, he would take on the sins of the world and offer himself as the perfect sinless sacrifice. Continuing verse 8, previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. Why? Because they were offered not with a pure heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You will not despise, O Lord. That's what God wants more than anything, is our hearts broken before him and fully confessing to him the things we've done. Oh man, he receives that. But offerings made without the heart, they have no purpose. And so he goes on from there. Verse 9, then he said, behold, speaking of Jesus, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. Verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all, that's the key. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. That's job security right there in the Old Testament. Okay? But this man, after he had suffered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And again, sitting down was that acknowledgement that the work was done. When you sat down, you said, there's nothing that can be added to this. I'm sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high, as the writer of Hebrews says, because the work is finished. It's a good feeling when you come to the end of your day and it's been a long, hot day in the Salton Sea, especially out by there, and man, you just want to get home and collapse in a heap, pretty much. You say, the work is done. For today, of course. It'll start again tomorrow, but at least now we have some rest. Verse 13, from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever, completed those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Praise the Lord. That's, again, Jeremiah speaking 600 years before Jesus Christ would come as a man. He speaks of the new covenant, where there's not a remembrance, there's remission of sins. There's a taking away of them, a total forgiveness of them. So much better in the new covenant. Therefore, verse 19, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter, again, boldness meaning freedom of speech, approaching God without hesitation, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. And again, that veil that separated the outer tabernacle from the inner holiest of holies. No one could approach except for the high priest with blood sacrifice. But the writer here says, we can approach. We can enter the holiest of holies, unthinkable to the old covenant believers, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus. Knowing this, he tore the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast, hold tightly the confession of our hope in Jesus Christ, his coming, our entrance into heaven to see him without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's why we're here. We gather as the church to stir one another up, exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, verse 25, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as we see the day of our Lord approaching. He's coming back. We ought to be here. We are here. We're stirring each other up. This is the best place to be in the world on Sunday. It is ought to be the happiest, most joyful place on earth. Sorry, Disneyland. But on Sunday, as the church gathers, and I say that because I'm going to use a parallel today. A parallel is usually taking common things or a common experience and using it to reveal a deeper truth. Jesus used a lot of parallels, a lot of metaphors, a lot of similes to bring forth a great truth. We're doing that this summer. All summer at Camp Julian Oaks, we are using a parable that Jesus told, which is a parallel about the kingdom of heaven, and we're drawing great truths from it. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy of it, or over it, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. That's Matthew 13, verses 34 through 36, or 44 through 36. That parable speaks of Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The treasure are those who would come to receive Jesus as their Savior, called the church. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, gave everything, his whole life, to purchase the world that he might obtain the treasure, which is all those who would come to him and receive him as their Savior. He paid the ultimate price, his very life. So that is a parallel, a parable. Jesus used comparisons all the time. Think about the seven I ams in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus did this a lot. As a matter of fact, the whole chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew is all parables, parallels, metaphors, taking common things to bring forth a deeper truth. So I'm going to do that today myself. Before I do that, I will say this. Verse 7 is a stunning verse. When in the reading of this Psalm 40, Jesus messianically proclaiming, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book, all of scriptures, it is written of me to do your will, O God." And that is quite a statement. The whole of the Old Testament was about Jesus. It's full of prophecies concerning him. And this one here in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7 or 8, is just one of hundreds of them. Jews for Jesus has come up with 365 of them, one for each day of the year. So we know they're there. I think I like to go back to them sometimes when there are those who say the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, two separate books, not so. Recall that moment in Luke chapter 24 when on the morning or afternoon of Jesus' resurrection, that Easter Sunday, he's walking on the road to Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And he's walking behind two disciples, Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. And he overhears them talking of the things that just happened over the past 3 days. And as they walk and talk, Jesus joins them, and he asks kind of naively, "What are you talking about?" And they answer somewhat sarcastically, and they say, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?" Or in modern vernacular, we would say, "Have you been hiding under a rock?" But that would be too close to what he was doing because he was behind the big rock, the tomb. So anyway, they say, "Are you the only stranger? You don't know what just happened?" And the conversation continues in Luke chapter 24, and Jesus says, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned, hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early this morning astonished us when they did not find his body. they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Here's the key verse, Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The whole of the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus. Well, my dear mother-in-law gave me this, and it just fell apart. So, oh well. Now it will become a cutting board only. There you go. That's it. But again, the majority, the theme of the letter to the Hebrews, it's all about Jesus. And the Bible is all about Jesus. The priesthood, we're coming to find out, is all about Jesus, our high priest, who brought the sacrifice of himself. The sacrifices, all pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even the sanctuary where the priest would enter into, man, we see Jesus in the candlestick, the light of the world, in the bread that was offered, the bread from heaven, as he called himself, of which we eat, and we never hunger for other things, things that will satisfy us. The censer that burned the incense, we see Jesus ever living to make intercession for us. The promises of God, as Paul wrote, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. They all find their fulfillment in Jesus. The prophecies, the feast days, all of them pointing to Jesus. And we go over this many times, but it's a constant reminder that we see Jesus in everything that the Bible has to say. Who other than Jesus Christ can say, in the volume of the book, it is written of me? No other religious leader can say that. And again, Jesus Christ isn't just a religious leader. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's in a league of his own. There is a league of religious leaders. Jesus is not part of that league. He's separate from that. Messiah, Son of God, God in the flesh. They cannot claim those things. And so I don't want you to clump him with those who have no power to save anybody unto salvation. Only Jesus did that. I'm going to begin a parallel. And I will put a disclaimer on this. What I'm going to use to compare this new and living way into heaven could offend some of you, especially as it's been in the news lately. But I want you to consider this as nostalgic. I'm going to look back on something that was once very good and has slowly become not so good in some ways. So although you might have an issue with what I'm about to share, just pour some grace out right now, because I want to share it. Give me a moment here. And try and see the magnitude of a Jew who all his life has only known the old covenant and now has been asked to embrace the new covenant and to forsake those things that once were so important to him or her, and to move forward. So here it goes. Some of you will like this, others won't. Can't please everybody. But on July 17th, 1955, Disneyland opened its doors to overflowing crowds. And although special invitations had been sent out for opening day to a select few, the invitation was counterfeited. It was copied. And so thousands more people showed up than were supposed to be at Disneyland on opening day. The park wasn't ready for that many people. The food and drinks ran out very quickly. They say a woman's high heel shoe got stuck in the cement that was still trying to dry. They were still building the park. And the Mark Twain steamboat nearly capsized from too many visitors, too many passengers. On that first day, park attractions were not included in the price for admission. If you wanted to go into Disneyland, you had to pay $1, and then you had to buy every ride you went on. So if it was an A ride, it was 10 cents. If it was a B level, it was 15. If it was a C level ride, 23 cents, and all the way up. Although they only had A, B, and C. There was no e-tickets yet, that's right. But all that changed on October of 1955, just 3 months later. Disneyland began selling ticket books, or what they called coupon books, which allowed access to the various attractions. And again, the books contained 3 A coupons, 2 B coupons, and 3 C coupons. And the letter determined the level of excitement, you might say. As A coupons or A tickets were those tamer, less intense rides, while C coupons represented more thrilling, popular attractions. The thing is, by 1956, Disneyland added a D coupon as more attractions were added that constituted a greater or higher level of excitement, such as the Jungle Cruise. That became a D coupon, a D ticket. Then, in 1959, 3 major attractions were added that necessitated an E ticket, and they were the Matterhorn Bobsleds, the Submarine Voyage, and the Terrifying Monorail. Yes, okay. Now, of course, in subsequent years, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, other rides would be added to the list. And again, these new attractions required the newly introduced E coupon, more famously known as the E ticket. And since then, of course, the term E ticket continues to be used. Whenever somebody goes to a park and there's an exciting, thrilling, highly technological ride, people will say, that was an e-ticket ride. That was like the best. Long after the discontinuation of ticket books. By the 1970s, Disneyland was faced with increasing competition. And it just so happened that Knott's Berry Farm and Magic Mountain had done away with tickets and had a one price, one day, all-inclusive pass. So with one price, you got full admission, and you got to enjoy all the attractions. Well, this pass system proved to be very popular, and it got Disney's attention. By the end of the 1970s, the park began to phase out the various tiers, A, B, C, D, E, until offering only a one-day pass beginning on June 1st, 1982, just in time for my 18th birthday. And the day pass granted both admission to the park and unlimited use of all the attractions, all for one price. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there. Okay. So where am I going with this? I think some of you are probably seeing the parallel already. Just as the day came on June 1st, 1982, when access to Disneyland could no longer be accomplished through the use of individual tickets or coupon books, so was there a designated time when God could no longer be approached by the Old Covenant. Its sacrifices given to the priest who went into the temple, instead through the New Covenant. By the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, admission and full access to the riches of God would be granted by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way. He said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might have the adoption as sons and daughters. There was a day designated by God that Jesus Christ would come into the world as a humble human being, a man. He left the glory that he had with the Father and was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and the day had come. If a person attempted to use the ticket books to enter Disneyland or board a ride after June 1982, they were told they were no longer accepted. That's not the way anymore. And the new system was in place. This was the situation these Hebrew Christians found themselves in. They spent most of their lives knowing that the only way of approaching God, again, was through the sacrifice offered through the priest in the temple. There were daily sacrifices, but then there was the once-a-year sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that the high priest entered the Holy of Holies that was guarded by a thick veil, a very thick veil. He came with the blood offering, and he would give the sacrifice for the sins of all of Israel. These Hebrews only knew that system. And now, suddenly, as of April AD 32 or 33, that system was done. The old covenant was finished. It was vanishing away. It had vanished. And now the new way of approaching God would be through faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our high priest who offered himself in the heavenlies for all of our sins, for the sins of the whole world. And this new way is called the new covenant. Yet these Hebrew Christians were still being tempted, pressured to go back to the old covenant ways of atonement, of having your sins swept under the rug. Even though they had heard about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and many had received him as their Savior, this letter is written, Hebrews, to those who had received Jesus Christ. They were sanctified. They had tasted of the heavenly gift, but yet they were being pressured to go back to the old ways of dealing with sin. When the coupon system, the ticket books, were replaced with Disneyland day passports, here's the thing, there were still thousands, hundreds of thousands of unused tickets, coupons, in circulation. So typically, guests would have exhausted all their E and D's, right? Jungle Cruise, Matterhorn, Space Mountain, Pirates of the Caribbean. And then they were left with A, B, and C. A Dumbo ride, Storyland. I'm sorry if I'm offending you. If you love Storyland, I get it. I liked it too, just for the shade. You know, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, all those things. They were the A, B, and C coupons that were left over that they thought they were going to use on the next trip. The next trip they came, they didn't accept them anymore. What do I do with all these things now? Well, those are the ones you find in the back of desk drawers, in a box in the garage, maybe on a poster that somebody made, a nostalgic poster of the good old days, or you might find them on eBay, still for sale. Do you know, as of 2018, Disneyland would still buy your tickets back at face value. So your e-tickets were still worth 95 cents, and your A-tickets at that time were like 25 cents. So if you wanted to use your tickets and say, I want to put these towards a day pass, they'd pay you for them. They still might do it, I don't know, but you could at least try if you want. But either way, the point is this. What would these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians, do now with their lambs and their doves and their bulls? And how about their favorite priest that they liked so much and their list of laws and commandments that were over their doors? What would they do on Saturday from now on? That was the Sabbath day. You know? They would probably keep those things around for a while. They'd probably make it into a family pet, maybe give the lamb a name like Wooly or Fluffy or something, I don't know. But they never probably named those sacrifices because they were going to give them to the priest to be offered. But now they were going to become like family members. It was the beginning of Petco, you know, what it was just, it was a whole new industry. So maybe they were going to make a scrapbook, tuck them into a drawer, do something different on Saturdays. I don't know. But they could not go back to using those things to attain salvation, the blessings of God, forgiveness of sins. Remember, they already had salvation in Christ Jesus. So this was mostly speaking of a daily basis, the daily offerings. But man, the days of giving, purchasing a ticket for every ride were done. Now it was one price, and that's the idea. Jesus Christ was the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. You know, although nostalgia and traditions and guilt, I might add, are big obstacles to get over, most would agree that one price for admission and unlimited use of all the attractions is the best. It's the superior covenant, the new covenant. And it almost seems too easy. Yet that's exactly what the scriptures teach. The writer of Hebrews, again, back to chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we now have boldness, freedom of speech to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. Old covenant believers would never dare think of entering the Holy of Holies, but the writer of Hebrews says we can enter it now. How? By a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated in his own blood for us through the veil, that is, his own flesh. And having a high priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near. Here's the attractions. Get ready. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts, not just the outside of us, but our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Here's another attraction. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold on tight. Like when you're going on the Matterhorn bobsleds, you hold on tight. For he who promised is faithful. Not we who promised, but he who promised. I am not faithful all the time. Jesus is faithful. He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it in the coming of Christ Jesus. Man, he's going to do it. We can rest in that. He's our Sabbath rest. Jesus becomes our Sabbath rest. And let us consider one another. Here we are. In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are here to stir one another up to love and good works. There may be some here who are tired, frustrated, depressed, ready to throw in the towel, as Tina shared, even at a young age, saying, I'm done. This life is too heavy. It's too burdensome. It's too dark. It's too lonely. It's too depressing. But no, the writer says, hey, let's consider one another. Let's get together. Let's gather like this in order to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage one another. That is the great value of what we call church. Gathering together. To ask, how's it going? How can I pray for you? Do you need some help on that project? How's little John doing? How are you doing, Brittany? You know, asking the questions. And like Joe Gallo, you eventually get invited to dinner, you know, a list of 100 people in this church, you know. He just goes one by one. The guy just wants to bless us. And he does bless. He's a good cook, by the way. I'll just say amen because he does. Yes. watching the service online is good when you're sick or maybe during COVID, but man, those days are gone. I would encourage those who are watching online, it's fairly safe. COVID's not gone, I know, but being here in person, far superior to watching online. You can hug people here. You can eat food here. You can pray for one another. You can spur one another on to love and good works. The Apostle Paul, who may also have been the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, we don't know for certain, but he said this. He said it in a different way. Therefore, having been justified just as if I'd never sinned, having been justified by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a different way of saying we can approach God. He's not mad at us. He wants us to come in and spend time with him. Man, I love the past 2 weeks seeing Lee on the high school field playing catch with his kids or playing soccer, you know, with Eli or Oliver or Molly. But he's over there. And it almost makes me cry when I see it. It's awesome to see this dad playing with his kids, even though they're older. Fred did it all the time, too. And I miss those days. That's how it is with God. That's how it is. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be approach him. Jesus Christ is approachable. He's not like the Wizard of Oz that you can't enter behind the veil. It's not that way. Mark chapter 15 says, when Jesus was crucified, that moment when he said, "It is finished, into your hands I commit my spirit," the earth shook, darkness came upon the land, and the veil in the temple was torn in two, saying, we have access to God now, freely, through Jesus Christ. That's a far better way than it used to be. Warren Wiersbe calls this a gracious threefold invitation to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Simply put, our entrance into God's presence is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is it. And again, no old covenant worshiper could have ever imagined it would be this good. This is even better. I'm going to take it to the next level. Buzz Lightyear said, and beyond, right? I'm going to go beyond, right? Might as well keep the Disney theme going. This is beyond, okay? Hey, was that? Yeah. We have something even better than a one price for admission and unlimited access to all the rides and attractions because we don't pay anything. He paid it all. I'm going to keep the parallel going for just three more minutes. This was a situation I found myself in 1990. I had just accepted a teaching position in Riverside at Taft Elementary School, fifth grade bilingual class. And it must have been awesome for me to leave Seal Beach to go to Riverside. That's like a nightmare for most people. You think, how did that happen? But brand new school, great staff, and I accepted that job. And I was there for 3 or 4 years. But I knew once I accepted the job, I had to have a place to live. So I went to Harvest Christian Fellowship, Greg Laurie's church, looked on the communications board. There it was, pulled it off. Joe Munoz, looking for a roommate in Canyon Crest. Canyon Crest, that's the neighborhood I'm going to teach in. 2 blocks from where my school is. Call him up. That's going to be like $275 to rent a room. Okay, man, I'll take it. I didn't even look at the room. I just said yes. And good enough that this was a Christian man who owned the house. Good enough that it was 2 blocks from the school I was teaching at. But it only gets better because Joe Munoz, in 1990, had already been working at Disneyland for 25 years. Okay, this was a lifetime employee. And he says to me within the first 2 weeks, hey, Tone, that's what he called me, Tone, you know, Tone Loke. Tone, hey, Tone, you want to go to the park? I'll let you in, man. You can come anytime you want. wow, are you kidding me? He says, no. I've been working there 25 years, and if you come with me, we'll go in gate B on the side entrance, and you could go in, all the rides, everything. And I'll even show you the back lots. I'll show you things that no civilian can see. It sounded too good to be true, yet it was true. It was true. And I found this out just a few months later. I accepted his invitation, and on that morning, I think it was November, I met Joe at the park, and it went just like he said it was going to go. I stood next to Joe. We go to gate B. They see Joe. They say, Joe, Pepe, they called him. Great guy. They said, come on in. And I was next to him. It was like they were saying the boat to one person, come on in. Because I was so close to Joe, they didn't even ask me my name. They just said, Joe, come on in. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of power there. Joe's work and his loyalty to Disneyland granted him the authority to have friends admitted to the park. His work gave them entrance. I know you're already ahead of me on this one. His status as a 25-year employee was placed on me. They treated me like they treated him, and I got in. They ushered us right through the gate. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When I'm walking with Jesus, and that day comes, when I breathe my last breath on earth and I'm approaching heaven, he's going to be right there. And man, his righteousness is going to cover me. I'll have the clothes of Jesus Christ, and they're going to see us as one. And they're going to say, come in. Welcome. Good and faithful servant. Enjoy all there is to enjoy of heaven. What is there to enjoy even now? The attractions. We can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Again, with you at my side, I get in. With Jesus Christ at my side, man, we're in. It's a done deal. Admission and all the attractions because of Jesus. And so we draw near, we walk through the gates, through life, in confidence. We put our faith in Jesus, man, the best is yet to come. So we do. That's how we walk in this life. Secondly, we hold fast the confession of our hope. The Hebrews were being tempted to go back, to forsake their confession of their hope in Jesus, and go back to the old covenant practices. But like the ticket books after May 31st, 1982, those things in the old covenant no longer had any purpose or power or place. Hope is the main theme of Hebrews. We're looking for Jesus Christ to return. And we're looking for that city home. So instead of looking back, as the Jews oftentimes did, we're encouraged to look ahead, to look for the coming of Jesus Christ and what we call the rapture, but also our entrance into heaven, which is going to be glorious. And finally, he says, here's another attraction. And I've already spoke about it. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The happiest place on earth, again, ought to be here right now. Christians gathered together under the banner of Jesus Christ. Doesn't get better than that. And in those three attractions, verses 22, 23, 24, 25, there are the big three. The big three. Full assurance of faith. The confession of our hope. Stirring up love, faith, hope, and love. Man, that's like Matterhorn, Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain. It's like those are the best ones. Those are the best. Yeah. And that's what we're to enjoy as we approach God in the new and living way through Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price that we might have entrance into heaven, But right now, we can enjoy all the attractions that we find in each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So with that, let's stand together. Let's pray. Hey, if you're not enjoying the Christian life, if you are fearful of your entrance into heaven, am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Hey, listen, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going. You're in. You've got the lifetime pass, the gold pass. But if you need some assurance, then I would love to pray with you. Tina would love to pray with you. Nick, Jessica, Tara, Larry, Joe, both Joes, anybody. We're brothers and sisters. We can pray for one another right now. So don't leave this building discouraged or burdened. Man, give it to the Lord and live the best life. Live the best life in Jesus Christ, the new and living way. So thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for this time you've given us, Lord, to encourage one another and stir one another up to love and good works. Lord, I trust you've done that, and you're going to continue doing that. Lord, we know this life is difficult, Lord. It is tough. But in you, Jesus, in the new covenant, we find rest. We find a safe harbor. We find a sanctuary, Jesus. Thank you for being our living sanctuary that we can come to and rest. Thank you that we've done that today. Help us to do that every day through prayer, through songs of praise, through opening your word, through fellowshipping with one another until that day comes. But Lord, if there's anybody here who has yet to experience that new covenant, that has put themselves under a list of moral rules and laws and has fallen short over and over again, or just feels like a slave to their sins, Jesus, I pray they would pray a prayer like this. Oh, Jesus, I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you today. And I want you to forgive me, Jesus, please. Lord, I understand now that you paid the price for my sin. And Lord, you've dealt with my sin through your death on the cross. And Lord, through your resurrection, I have the sure hope of eternal life. Jesus, I want that. So forgive me. I'm sorry. I've rebelled against you. And Lord, I receive the gift of salvation right now. I receive what you did for me 2,000 years ago as a gift. I have nothing to offer in return except for my life, Jesus. I want to live for you. So help me now to grow in the grace and knowledge of you, my Lord and Savior. And help me confess that. I don't want to be ashamed that now I can be called a Christian because of you, Jesus. Not anything I did, because of everything that you did. So I thank you now in advance for that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm born again. And Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for a while, help us to be excited about what lies in store for us, God. You've got so many things for us, so many incomparable riches in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord. So we ask your blessing upon the remainder of our day and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. When I shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength when shadows I'll sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When sorrow comes my way, you are the shield around me, always you remain, like courage in the fight, I hear you call my name. Jesus, I am coming, walking on the ways, reaching for your love. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Great, so remember that this coming week, VBS. Remember that as you're setting up the shades outside, it's hot, you're sweating, when you're doing some yard work for other people, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you need a little miniature strength, there's strong coffee and bread back there that you can get. Again, parents, get it now before you get the kids. Get a little part, and that would be good. But we look forward to seeing you. God bless you. Thanks for sticking around, for those of you who can help with setting up. And again, after heavenly things, I run outside and say, Lacey, order 4 pizzas and some drinks right away. That's how it is in this life, right? So God bless you. And again, if you need prayer, come forward. Let's pray together. And we'll see you later, whenever that is. All right.